So our next piece of scripture is a little different. It's the poem, The Journey by Mary Oliver. I invite you to hear it. One day you finally knew what had to do and began. Though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice through the whole house, began to tremble, and you felt the old tub at your ankles mend my life. Each voice cried, but you didn't stop. You knew that you had to do, though the wind cried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late, enough in a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save. I don't know about you all, but this weather has really gotten me a little discombobulated. The daffodils are out and blooming. There are leaves coming out of the willow trees that I see around and out of some of the smaller trees and bushes. And there is a Bradford pear tree blooming in my backyard. Is this really the first weekend in March? I don't really feel like I've been through winter. I don't know about you all or not. Maybe the sickness seems to help, but really, I haven't even gotten out my big, heavy coat. Fall was weird enough around here, and I don't know what it was that blew in on Wednesday around here. But I'm really confused about what is in front of us weather-wise. Is it actually spring now? I don't know. Well, the weather is definitely confusing. We might not know what kind of jacket to wear out each morning. The church knows what season it is. It is sure about one thing. With the arrival of Ash Wednesday and the purple colors that we find around the church, we have arrived in Lent. This 40 days, not including Sundays, is a time of preparation for Easter, and maybe my favorite season of the church year. Now, part of the reason why is because it comes to the kind of, it's the same time as the beginning of spring training. I don't know if you've had those things pop up in there. Yeah. I don't know what it is about the start of baseball pitchers and catchers reporting, and then the guys, you see them kind of starting to come out, the games start. I don't know, there seems to be some type of hope. Maybe my Braves will be able to pull out a victory or two this year. But it's also a time of preparation here in the church. And unlike Advent, when it seems like getting ready for Christmas means adding more stuff, whether it be decorations around the house or things that we have to do, shopping for gifts, adding more and more stuff to do in our lives, this time of preparation, it encourages us to set things aside. Clear space and focus on where we are and what is ahead in our lives. I don't know. I had a professor in seminary, and she always used to talk about the importance of reflecting upon whatever it is that we were doing. Whether it was just at the end of the day or a project that we had done, She talked about the importance of reflection. And so, this time of Lent, this 40 days, gives us an opportunity to reflect on our lives and where we are with God. And this year, White Oak Pond is going to be doing that through poetry. Now, you might be asking yourself, why poetry? And I'll tell you why. It's probably because of Miss Joy Siebold. You guys know Joy? No. Joy was my English teacher senior year in high school. I went to Lafayette Jefferson High School, the public school for the city there in Lafayette, Indiana. Joy, I can call her that now. She said so after we graduated. But Mrs. Siebold, she celebrated poetry. She absolutely loved it. She made it come alive and encouraged us to write poetry within the class itself. So I wrote a series of poems about a dead dog. It was meant to be humorous. It was not very good, but it was my attempt at poetry. Now, she may have also had a little bit of help that year because there was a movie that came out called Dead Poets Society. Maybe some of you have seen it. We all went to see it at the local theater one evening. Still, in a class of young people from all walks of life in that public school, she challenged us to let the creative words of authors engage us on a level that was deeper than tests and more life-sustaining than our very breaths. I also love, and I also blame, if you want to, Ken. Now, Ken's not here today. I was going to point to him. But Ken sits right back there, and every now and then he stands up here, and he reminds us about the power of poetry. Whether it be one that he has written for this place and this time, or sharing one that has meant something to him throughout his life. And just the other day, I heard an interview with Eugene Peterson, prominent theologian and wonderful writer. He wondered out loud if we could really even understand Scripture without being able to read and appreciate poetry. Now, poetry is defined as a literary work in which special intensity is given to the expression of feelings and ideas by use of distinctive style and rhythm. But there's something about poetry, whether it be stuff like Mary Oliver's that we have shared today, or the scripture that we got from Ecclesiastes, or even my bad poetry about dead dogs. It seems to invite something deeper. So this season of Lent, we will let the words of poetry in the biblical narrative and from more contemporary writers guide us. I'm going to try and speak each and every week in a way that addresses the text. But here's the thing. I can't tell you what they mean. I know too well that you can't do that. As soon as you think that you have everything explained and ordered when it comes to poetry and even scripture, a new idea or thought comes along and leads us in a different direction or gives us a chance at a new and different discovery. The same way with God. As soon as you think that you have God in that perfect little box, something grows out of it and stretches. So my hope is during these next 6 weeks is that I can give you something to wonder about or encourage you when something feels different or uncomfortable in the text. or in the poem. That is what poetry is all about. And also what Lent is all about. We start our text today with Ecclesiastes. Now, each text that we're going to choose from the biblical narrative from our Bible is going to have a poetic quality about it. We started on Ash Wednesday with the Psalms. The Psalms have a rhythmic quality to the poetry, Psalms, that were sung in the church as part of worship, but they also have a way of connecting with us in powerful ways. The imagery that is brought forward, the ideas that we can engage in, they allow us to meet the text where we are. This last week we talked about how we long for God, like a deer longs for flowing water. That was in our text. And today, we engage in Ecclesiastes. Now, this is a part of the Bible that's called the wisdom literature, right there in the middle, along with Proverbs and Song of Solomon. Now, the writer's name is Kohelet. It's a Hebrew word that means the leader of the assembly. Some have attributed it to King Solomon, because at some point within the text, he talks about being the leader, again, of the assembly and being called a son of David. But if you get to understand the text and you really kind of look into it about where it came from, where some of the sayings that we're reading come from, we recognize that it comes much later than that. And so while some of the sayings may have come from Solomon, it was put together in a much different way. And so, this seems to be a collection of poems. And this final one that we get in the final chapter 12 gives us an opportunity to look at life and the depth of what it is, especially as this leader of the assembly, Kohelet, talks about the end of life. Now, you may have heard the very end of it that Marjorie read for us. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But everything that I looked to, that stuck out at me, it just didn't seem to fit. And so, whenever that happens, I have to dig a little deeper. And I found out where that word comes from. It's a Hebrew word, and the Hebrew word is havel. Am I pronouncing that to your... Is that okay? So, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I do know havel. Now that word means something very different than just vanity as we understand it here in our Western culture today. I think, whenever I think vanity, I think of somebody staring into a mirror and looking at that and kind of, you know, looking at all the different spots that are just not quite right. There's a few gray hairs, or maybe there's not quite enough. Or, you know, just being consumed with our own image. But instead, Robert Alter translates it more as mere breath. Now, the other day, we finally got a little bit of cold weather. And I went to let the dog out in the morning. And as Lily ran out there and timidly put her feet out to go to the bathroom, and I was standing there at the door, I started to call her back. And as I did, I breathed out into the outside. Did you guys remember that when you were kids? And you could see the breath. But I kind of reach out and grab it, there's nothing there. It's there, but it's not. Doesn't that seem to be the way that life is? You can see it, it's right there. You can see its effects, you can see it interacting with the world, but when you reach out and kind of grab it, it's just not there. You think you have it all kind of handled. You think you've got everything in order. And you reach out and it's just not quite there. But it gives us a chance to see it fleeting. See it just right there. Breath. Breath. Mere breath. It's all like mere breath. Life is. It gives. And it we exhale it. We inhale it. We take it in. And we can see it right there. But it's just not. I can't grab onto it. Our second text is from Mary Oliver, called The Journey. Now, Mary once said that her poems invite readers to find themselves and to own their experiences at their center. And this poem is truly an opportunity to hear words that speak to the birth and the breath of a new self. I really hope that you'll take the time to either pull it up on your phone later on this week or take home one of the packets or whatever it might be that you print out and just hang on to it and read it a couple of more times this week. The more that I read it, the more that I began to kind of grab onto certain phrases along the way. The thing is you might find ones that gravitate to you that don't to me. Yet still a few that I lift up to you today. Did you hear this one? And you felt the old tug at your ankles. Mend my life. And the next part. And there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own. The journey of life. How many times have we in our own life sensed that tug at our ankles to mend what it is that is bothering us within our own lives? Or when is it that we have sensed something deep inside of who we are trying to make its way out? A new voice within us that's seeking to find its own resonance. Trying to find the strength we have to speak it. It begins to come out in words and in actions. And the more we speak it, the more we use it, the more it becomes part of who we are. The birth of a new self. The new breath that we breathe. Lent is a time of reflection. It is a time that we have, that we can engage in where our lives are. That we can seek down in the depths of who we are and feel the tug on our ankles. Hear the voices that are stirring within us and find the breath within our diaphragm to force out and to give birth to this new voice that is coming. I do not know what it will sound like. I do not know where it will take us. But I do know, I do recognize that this is a time for the poetic spirit in this place and in our world to take hold. So I invite you, during this time of Lent, to seek out the voice, the words that are within you, to explore them, to nurture them, and to listen, and to give them breath. Let us go into this Lent seeing what will come.
Thank you for listening to the White Oak Pond Christian Church podcast. We hope that it's been a blessing to you this day. White Oak Pond seeks to be a place where we accept one person at a time to Christ's never-ending and forgiving love. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you can receive sermons each and every week. And also rate us. It really helps. Thank you again, and may you know joy in powerful ways this week.